The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Monday, April 2nd, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain markets with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. And University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good will take one more look at last Friday's USDA reports with an eye toward projecting 2007 corn prices. And we'll round out the broadcast with the weather outlook for the Corn Belt. It's also AM 580's Spring Pledge Drive. Now more than ever, we need your support of AM 580 Agriculture. Go to your phone now and call at 217-244-9455 with your $100 pledge. You'll help us to expand our agricultural services and make a $1,000 challenge offered by Bates Commodities, Roach Ag Marketing, Risk Management Commodities, and AgriGold Hybrids. 217-244-9455 is the number to call.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Monday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. May wheat, 445 and a half down 11. July, 451 and three quarters down 8 3/4 at the Chicago Board of Trade. May wheat, 428 down 10. July, 442 down 11 3/4. September, 454 down 15. May corn, 354 and three quarters down 19 3/4. July, 366 and a half down 19. September, 366 and a quarter down 15. December, 369 and a half down 14. May beans, 779, up 17 3/4. July, 795 3/4, up 17 3/4. August, 801, up 18. November, 821 1/4, up 16 1/4. May soybean meal, 218.30, up 6.50. May soybean oil, 32.76, up 28. At the Merck, April feeders, 110.20, up 145. April live cattle, 99, even up 140. April lean hogs, 65.02 1/2, up 117 1/2 on the day. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we do have a fund drive right now, and we have a challenge underway as well. 217-244-9455, the number to call. Jay Pierce will be along in just a minute to tell us where we are in the challenge. But before we get into the numbers, Kurt, I'm curious about what people at your end say about our service.
Well, they have a lot of positive, and they're really grateful for what you're doing, because as we all well know, the ag side of broadcasting has dropped dramatically here over the years, and to find a source such as yours that's reliable and accurate has really risen to the top of the chart here. Not only you know your daily commentary, but your web service too, and your e-newsletter has all been really appreciated by the people we listen to. Then to follow up, as we mentioned this morning, your Outlook meetings too, because it gives individuals a chance to meet the analysts and answer or ask questions that pertains to their own situation and get some answers to particular questions. So I've heard a lot of positive, and I believe probably the highlight of the year and probably the key indicator that suggests what you're looking for is probably the turnout at the beef house here this last winter. standing room only. There is just unbelievable the support that the public's giving you, Dave.
We do offer a full plate of services, and if you appreciate that plate, now is the time to go to your phone and make a little donation at 217-244-9455. We accept Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover Card. Let's get into these markets, Kirk, and begin with the soybeans, which, as I was saying this morning, was showing surprising strength, and they didn't let up today.
Well, I don't know if it's really surprising. We've talked about the bean market all winter long, how much potential the beans have due to the dynamics of the marketplace, the fundamental picture changing dramatically when you look on out forward. If you look at near-term supply-demand balance sheets, it's kind of hard to get real bullish, but when you look a year, two, 3 years out, you can get quite excited about the bean market due to the less acres, and that puts us in a position here where the growth that we've seen in the demand side, you've got to have some real good yields to sort of keep up with the demand with the less acres. Failure to see some record yields this summer with the actual acres the USDA put out here last week suggests that bean carryout could drop dramatically down to this 250, 225 million bushel level versus what we've seen this last year. So that coupled with the investment money looking for a new bull market to ride, they're gunning the bean market. There's no question about that. That's been well publicized this winter, and they're starting to shift funds into that marketplace. On the day the fund sold about 10,000 contracts of corn, it looks like they rolled those into the bean position by buying 7,000 contracts of beans on the day.
And that corn, it actually did trade today. We were thinking that this morning that we might not see any trade in the nearbys, but we actually unlocked them finally.
No, I was first to say that I did not believe the old crop corn would trade. It did trade. At one time, there was over 70,000 contracts for sale in the corn. As the beans sort of held their own and started trading higher on the day, it gave the sellers a little reason to maybe not get heavily sold up. So the sell orders didn't all fill. It's just they started pulling sell orders out of the marketplace once the beans started to trade. It had been best to see the corn close a little bit better than what it did. But it did not close limit down. Ever since we've had the 20-cent trading limits, corn has not moved 20 cents 2 days in a row up or down.
Stay right there, Kurt, and we'll get back to you with for some more analysis. I want to go out to Pledge Central and Jay Pierce, our station manager. And Jay, please give us an idea of what we need today to stay on track to make our challenge by the end of tomorrow.
Well, I told the phone volunteers to get ready here at 244-9455. That's an area code 217. Or you can use our toll-free number, 866-779-9455. Because, here it is, I'm going to lay it on the line. Then I'm going to tell you why you should call. But I'm going to lay it on the line first because you need facts when you're dealing in this kind of business. We have a $1,000 challenge on the table from AgriGold Hybrids, Bates Commodities, Roach Ag Marketing, and Risk Management Commodities. As soon as we hear from 75 people in support of agriculture, today is the next to the last day of the shortened pledge drive, so you really need to get on the horn and reply to this now. We have 41 calls in. We have 34 to go to meet this challenge. Here's how important it is to meet this challenge right now. We're $48,000 away from meeting our goal for this pledge drive. We only have this afternoon and then tomorrow to do it. We must meet the goal because there isn't another pledge drive before the end of our fiscal year. We cut one out. We've cut 13 days out of our fundraising to give you more programming and less of us on the air badgering you for money. But we still need the money. Now, this challenge already has generated over $4,000 in contributions. So you can see how valuable it is when you call and you meet these challenges. You're going to help us meet that $225,000 goal for this pledge drive. In 5 days, the most ambitious goal we've ever set for a pledge drive. And we know that we're going to be able to meet it because listeners who value this service will call 244-9455 and make those $100, $120, $150. We're getting $250 contributions this afternoon at 244-9455. 34 to go to meet this $1,000 challenge. And Dave, I know the agriculture audience values the information, especially in the wake and amidst all the fallouts and all the uncertainty and the mystery of this corn planting intentions report that came out on Friday. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're going through right now to deal with that yourself, think of all the information you're getting on AM 580 online and on the air to help you deal with it, to help you make decisions, to help guide you in being a profitable agricultural enterprise, and then call 244-9455 and help keep this service here for you and thousands of others who use it each and every day.
And there's the challenge. We need 15 phone calls, at least in this broadcast. We're 13 days less in the fund drive. 12 of those, by the way, are days where we would have been talking about agriculture. So you can see how important it is that you respond right now. There just isn't any more time to. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Kurt, we were talking for weeks on end about the potential of perhaps, at the very least, buying a put option under the market in case what happened actually did happen at the board last Friday. Now, those puts are worth some significant money right now. What should producers should do with them, particularly if they got the May version?
Yeah, you're correct. There is time to stick to your plan or fine-tune your plan on those. It depends what your goal and objective was from day one, whether it's old crop, new crop puts, but the emphasis is on the maize. Just the fact that those expire here in April and you've got a short period of time. Our recommendation is to look to roll out of those, print profit on those, or roll those out to deferred contract where you've got some more time on it. Because what will happen is, as the market stabilizes here and we don't see the volatility pick up anymore, those could start moving penny for penny. There's been some huge profits made in those, and it's probably, in our opinion, time to sort of reward that position or manage that position where you can take some money home by either doing some rolling or repositioning in those days.
Has the market moved enough for you to consider some call options at this point?
We're getting there. Our best strategy is if you sold up and you've been wanting to buy, which a lot of you have been all winter long, fear you missed the move up, you want to use the extremes. As we've mentioned several times on air and at several meetings, we're going to see limit up, limit up, limit down, limit down, limit up, limit up, and it's going to be a roller coaster. And this is just a prime example of what we've been warning everybody about. And we'd use the extremes for marketing strategy to be incorporated. And what I mean by that is use this break here to start incorporating call options to replace some cash sales you made earlier. We recommend, and you can write this down, we recommend buying some December $4 corn calls in this 10 to 15 cent area. We feel that's a good and prudent strategy to get your foot in the door here in case we turn extremely wet here in the next few weeks or extremely dry later on this summer day.
Thanks, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. After last Friday's USDA reports, Todd Gleason sat down with University of Illinois agricultural economist Darrell Good. The subject, cash corn prices.
As you take a look out through the growing season, weather, of course, will play a large role, but if there are truly this many acres, some more than 90 million corn acres and a potential 12.7 billion bushel crop, weather may not play as much a role, you think, potentially, as it had in the last 2 months?
I think that's a fair way to put it. I mean, 90.5 million acres gives us a little more buffer from a weather standpoint. We can absorb a little of adverse weather in some areas. But still, we really need yields on average to be fairly close to trend this year. to keep everything moving. So I think weather will continue to garner a lot of focus as we move beyond this report. Initially, it will be focused on kind of this colder pattern, a little bit wet pattern in the first half of April. We forget it's still awfully early. Agronomists are saying here in the Midwest, we probably shouldn't even be thinking about planting corn until the third week of April anyhow. So you might say the cold, wet weather is a good thing, kind of keep us on the sidelines for a while. But certainly the market will be a little bit worried if cold, wet persists into the last half of April. And then the big question, as always, is what do we see in July and August? That's really what makes corn yields, both temperature and precip. And so the jury will be out until we get through the heart of the growing season.
At this time, the prospective plantings report's been out for just about an hour. Have you had enough time to think about what it means for prices over the coming year? Are $4 corn prices still in the works on the cash side from time to time?
Perhaps from time to time. This certainly reduces the odds of maintaining corn prices at $4 for an extended period of time. I think above three, certainly, and certainly until we get through the growing season, and during that period, anything can happen. But this really, I think, takes the bloom off of the talk about $5 corn, $6 corn. We'd certainly have to see a tremendous amount of weather stress now to push corn prices to that level, unless we see enough weakness near term that producers cut back on their intentions to plant corn. That's certainly always a possibility. And we won't know that until we get the June 30th acreage planning report. So for the next 3 months, we can speculate about what farmers really did compared to their intentions.
Would you be of the mind that farmers should price earlier rather than later at this point? Last year, they think they pulled the trigger too early, and prices show that they probably did in most cases. What about this year?
Well, you know, when you look at long-term average prices over the last 30 years, there has been a bit of a sweet spot for selling corn on average, kind of the March through June period pre-harvest. It's hard to outguess the market during that period, but we've been suggesting that making sales March, April, May is kind of the prudent thing to do, even though that backfired a bit last year. On average, that's still an awfully good time to be selling, and I think that's probably still the case this year. While we might see some initial weakness following this report, as we've talked, weather will be the dominant factor, and you can't rule out some price spikes as we move through the planting and growing season. So I think we still maintain a fairly aggressive approach to forward pricing corn here during the spring time frame.
Darryl, we appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
Extension Ag Economist from the University of Illinois, Darryl Good. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
I want to go back out to Jay Pierce in Pledge Central and see how we're doing with our challenge. I saw a little flurry of calls earlier.
Well, I got a call-in for agriculture. Call-in. But I want to make note of this one, all right? I'm going to hold up the hero of the half hour so far. The first call broke the ice. Mark O'Rourke from Downs decided to call in and become a new friend of WILL Agriculture.
Wow.
At 244-9455, in area code 217, 244-9455. Now, Mark and his pledge mean that we only need 33 more to meet this $1,000 challenge from AgriGold Hybrids, Bates Commodities, Roach Ag Marketing, and Risk Management Commodities. We have raised over $4,000 in this challenge so far from pledges that have come in to meet it. We're going to add $1,000 as soon as we hear from those 42. Now, Dave, or 33, that is. We have 42 in now. We're over $152,300 in our total here, okay? We have some ground to cover. here's what we're going to do. We're going to set a goal right now in the next 10 minutes to get over 153,000. We can do that with seven calls, seven $100 pledges right now at 244-9455. And that will also mean that we'll only have about 25 or so to get to meet the challenge tomorrow. We're going to have some ground to cover tomorrow, but let's cover a little bit right now, all right? 217-244-9455. Make that contribution to WILL Agricultural Programming. We want to get over $153,000. We want to pass that mark by the end of the closing market report and have another good day of showing for agricultural programming on AM 580, bringing you programming on the air and online at a time when you've got some tough decisions to make. And we're providing the analysis and the expertise and the information that you need to really get the job done. Now, if you're taking advantage of this, we need you to call in. We only have today and tomorrow, and that's it. No more pledge drives in this fiscal year. So we need to hear from you right now at 244-9455.
You know what, Jay? I was actually thinking, and as you were talking, I was looking in my wallet, and after I blew out all the cobwebs, I saw that I had about a $100 bill sitting right there, and I said, oh, my goodness, I have a $100 bill in my wallet. And I said, I will give that to AM 580 Agriculture if we hear from 10 listeners with 10 $100 pledges.
Seriously?
You betcha.
You're going to toss in $100 as soon as we hear from 10 listeners.
Who give $100 level.
Who give $100.
You
know what? I'll match that.
Sweet.
I'll put in $100. So that's two more $100 in addition to helping us meet this challenge. And we will raise another $1,000 when we hear from those 10. That's how it goes. We'll be $1,000 closer to our goal, 244-9455. We're all in this together. When we come together, we can create a service that is second to none. And we do it one call. 217-244-9455 at a time.
Let's go ahead and go out to the Andersons and Greg Johnson to talk about the cash grain market. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, after I picked my teeth up off the floor on Friday for seeing a crop in excess of 90 million bushels, the question I then had is, can we put a crop that size away or not? What do you think?
That'll be the interesting part. Hopefully we won't have to worry about that. Maybe with this sell-off in corn and maybe the weather this spring, we won't actually see an extra 12 million acres, but we could still see 10 or 11 million more acres. 12 million will be hard to put away. That's one reason why it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to lock in some basis now, even if we don't want to sell futures prices at these levels. But maybe look at get basis levels locked in. We've been advocating that for the last 2 months, and this report doesn't do anything to dissuade us from that. It sure feels like basis levels could be worse, wider, in the fall. So that might be one thing to do now before we get out in the field is to get those basis levels locked in for bushels that have to come in the fall. Now, after fall harvest, basis levels usually snap back. So if you can store it, great. But for bushels that have to come to town in the fall, this would be a good time to lock in basis.
Did you see much traffic in the last day or two, or have the phones been exceedingly quiet at the moment?
Oh, no, the phones have been busy. Unfortunately, they've been asking, is it over, and what do we do now? And, you know, hopefully everybody had a plan and stuck to it. You know, the ones that did have a plan are saying, I wish I would have sold a little bit more, and the ones that didn't sell anything are saying, why didn't we listen? But, you know, this thing's not over. I remember what Kay Whitlock said at the Beef House back in February. You know, just have your roller skates and Valium ready, and and that's exactly what this is. I mean, this was 2 days, but I think I calculated there's 120 more trading days before the crop is harvested. So, you know, this was just 2 days. We've still got 120 more of these kind of days to go, and they won't all be like the last 2 days, but it's going to be extremely wild, and I think I heard Daryl say earlier in that interview that you know, there's still a lot of weather issues out there. We have taken some of the weather premium out of the market with the extra acres, but we still, you know, in order to reach the 12.2 billion bushel production estimate that we need to just to meet the demand, we still need to have an average yield nationally over 150 bushels, and we've only done that once in the history of the United States, and that was 2 years ago. Even last year, with a relatively good crop, we only averaged 149, and the government's using 152. So can we do that? Sure, but we don't know that yet. You know, the first kernel hasn't even been planted yet. So there's still a lot of unknowns, and there's going to be a lot of wild and volatile movements between now and then.
Your prices today?
Cash corn finishes the day at 341, new corn 344, cash beans 751, new crop 796, cash wheat 378, new crop 397.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. AM 580 News is next.
And with this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Tribune Company has accepted a buyout offer from real estate investor Sam Zell in a deal valued at about $8.2 billion. And the media company says it plans to sell the Chicago Cubs at the end of the season. The owner of the Cubs, the Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, and various other newspapers and TV stations spent 6 months soliciting bids and reviewing offers. The company has been under pressure from key shareholders to boost its stock price, and along with others in the newspaper industry, has been losing readers and advertisers to the Internet. Tribune is the nation's second biggest newspaper publisher after Gannett. Chicago's mayor, Richard Daley, says the Chicago Police Department was too slow to take action against police officers who were accused of participating in two separate bar beatings. But Daley says the majority of the city's officers do a good job, and the actions of a few are diminishing the hard work of the others. This morning, the police chief in Chicago, Phil Klein, announced his retirement from the force. The U.S. Supreme Court has given a boost to a federal clean air initiative aimed at forcing utilities to install pollution control equipment on aging coal-fired power plants. In a unanimous decision, the justices ruled against Duke Energy in a lawsuit brought by the Clinton administration, part of a massive enforcement effort targeting more than a dozen utilities. North Carolina-based Duke Energy is Indiana's largest power provider, with more than 700,000 customers in 69 central and southern Indiana counties. Most companies settled with the government, but several Clinton-era cases involving more than two dozen power plants in the South and Midwest are still pending. An Urbana agency is beefing up the training it gives child care providers on dealing with child obesity. A recent survey of Illinois children finds more than 30% under the age of 10 are overweight. A consultant with Child Care Resource Services says they help providers teach kids how to read food labels, choose the right foods, and determine proper serving sizes. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. This is Dave Dickey. We have a challenge underway, including getting into Uncle Dave and Uncle Jay's wallets. We'll go out to Pledge Central and see how we're doing with Jay Pierce.
All right, I got to thank some folks. Mark O'Rourke started this out by becoming a new friend. Brian Carlson called in from Leroy, which is near Downs, suburban, or one of the others, a suburb or the other, right? Although they won't admit it. But anyway, they're neighboring towns, and Mark and Brian Carlson is also joining as a new friend of WILL today. I wish I had a bell that I could ring every time that happened. Marion Martin called in, an additional contribution to help pick our pockets. Joan Hicks has called in. There are some operators on the phone right now. Dave, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in on the challenge. So what's that mean?
That means two more phone calls at $100. Means that Dave Dickey and Jay Pierce each go into their pocket with a $100 contribution.
Two more. All right, 244-9455. I just got the official word. Yep, two more, and we'll be at 10. A phone line is ringing right now. There's one open for you, 217-244-9455. You make that $100 or more contribution, you be the 10th one to do it. And Dave and I are going to have to pull some $100 bills out of our wallets.
Yikes.
Oh, man. But I'll be glad to do it.
Me too. Let's go ahead and go to John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to get his take on Midwestern weather. John, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I understand I'm going to have to pull my warm coat out of storage.
You are. We're going to have a kind of a colder regime take place during the middle to end of this week. And
think about a week or 10-day time frame of kind of colder temperatures across the Midwest. I guess that's kind of the bad news here. But the good news is that that is going to force some of the rains here, which have been moving across the Midwest, into the southern portion of the country. So it looks like a colder pattern coming up as we go through the next week or 10 days, but a distinctly drier pattern as well.
How much drier? I mean, parts of the Corn Belt really could use some drying out.
It looks like the entire Midwest is going to be drier than normal. Not totally dry over the next couple of weeks, but distinctly in a drier than normal pattern here coming up. And certainly from a fieldwork operation standpoint, that should help to improve some of the areas that are on the wet side across the Midwest.
Will that cold weather impact any of the wheat regions?
No. You know, if this cold air mass would have moved directly down into western Kansas, which is the core of the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, that in itself could have been a problem because that crop is pretty far advanced, but that's not going to happen. In the Midwest, the crop isn't nearly as far advanced. That's the soft red winter wheat crop. And because of that, we do not see any real threatening situation either for the Midwest or the Plains.
We were hearing some anecdotal information over the weekend that all the rain down in Argentina may have impacted the yield down there, and they may lose somewhere along the lines of 5 million metric tons or thereabouts of soybeans. Of course, that's all anecdotal. That's not anything that's been confirmed yet. But the question I want to bring up with you is they were expecting to have drier weather, but it looks like I'm seeing a model that suggests that certain areas are going to be pretty wet again.
When we think it is going to go drier. Now, the rainfall totals over the last 8 days, and this system kind of finally ended up here over the weekend, are incredibly impressive. And there are some areas that got as much as, 8, 10, 12 inches of rainfall across especially the northern portion of Argentina's grain belt. But it looks like from this point on, it looks like a distinctly drier pattern coming up as we go through the next week or 10-day period. So the situation is turning drier. They badly need drier conditions for the soybean harvest, and it looks like they will get that here as we go from now into next week.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, Dave.
John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Let's take one more quick little look out to Pledge Central and see how we're doing on our pledge drive challenges.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to count these here. Terry Warren called in. You count these as I go, okay?
Okay.
Terry Warren of Sullivan
one.
Called in. Okay, one. Marion Martin.
Two.
She called in from Champaign. Let's see. Ed Timberlake called in from Carmel.
Three.
Get a call from Roanoke, wanted
four.
To remain anonymous. Tom Jansen called in, became a new friend from Mason, Illinois.
Five.
Okay, let's see. Ted Shambaugh called in.
Six.
From Sarah Gordo. James Robbins from Piatone,
seven.
Illinois. Up north. Okay, thank you very much. Brian Carlson from Leroy.
Eight.
Mark O'Rourke from Downs.
Nine.
What's that mean, Dave?
That means we need one phone call right now at 217-244-9455 at the $100 level, and Jay Pierce and Dave Dickey will each reach into their wallets and contribute $100 this afternoon.
You know what that also means? As we add those pledges into our total, and then we add the couple of hundred that we're going to do, we're way over $153,000 now on our way to the goal. And as importantly, we have gotten to the mark where we are going to be, as soon as we get, if this call coming in right now, and they're putting down for agriculture programming, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pull out your $100, Dave, and I'll pull mine out too. And now we only have 24 calls to go to meet the $1,000 challenge from the agriculture supporters. Let's see if I can get them right. Bates Commodities. Risk Management, AgriGold's in on it, and Roach Ag Marketing. Did I get them all?
You got them all.
That's going to be $1,000. We need 24 more calls to get that. Tomorrow's the last day that we're going to be doing this pledge drive. So we've made some good progress today. Thanks to all of you, and thanks to the new friends at WILL who have joined in this half hour.